Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, 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 welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself. I am the one, the lovely talented, the hot rod. Now, on the phone line, I have, once again, he will deny it live on air, but he's the biggest Trump supporter. He's already voted for Trump. He is the one,
even,
the only, Sean Black.
Even in jest. Don't even put that one on me. Not even in jest. Sean Black in the building once again.
Well, don't worry.
Good Lord.
Not too far behind you. AT was down in Atlanta, Georgia over the weekend because of her vote early for her supporter, Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, as you, Lady T, and I.
I'll be doing a do-over on, what is it, November 4th or something?
Do-over.
Yeah, you know we're going to have a show when today is the 33rd anniversary of Black Monday, which was the day that the stock market literally crumbled underneath its own weight. That might have parallels to what's going on today, even though the stock market is much better, but we know how volatile that can be. So think about that.
Well, normally you would say we're 15 days away from the God knows maybe the biggest election of our lifetime. You know, who will know that November 4th will be known as Dark Wednesday, either or?
Well,
if we know the result by then, we never know.
We shall see. Besides, you know, we got a lot of people voting early because they definitely now, because of what's going on, they're afraid of mailing anything in. They're also, because of the pandemic, afraid of going to vote in person. So they're going to try to do this as early as humanly possible, as safely as they can do it.
Well, folks, you know the number, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Let's get started. Stop pissing people off with everything that's going on. There's so much happening in the last couple of days. Once again, cases of coronavirus, no surprisingly, have gone up over 70,000 daily. 41 states saw it again, no surprise there. But Lady T, there's been a lot of talk, because I know you always like to talk about and bring up mental health issues. It seems like there's a thing called a pandemic fatigue. And basically, people are getting tired of either talking about the coronavirus, dealing with the coronavirus, or the effects of basically people are getting depressed about this. And we say all the time on the show, if you're getting depressed, you feel you need someone to talk to, you talk to someone. With everything that's happening right now, what is your advice of people dealing with pandemic fatigue?
That's the reality of it. We even have some kids that are dealing with the pandemic, quote-unquote, fatigue. Anything that we deal with that's extensive, we're going to get fatigued. Have you ever had a long workout and have never gotten fatigued? You know what I mean? So it's like, what are we expecting? My thing is, after this is all done and said with, what is going to be the condition of a lot of people's mental health?
Yeah.
That's my concern.
Because it was funny, the reason why I brought this up, because one of my coworkers said, is like, Hot Rod, I'm tired, I'm fatigued. I'm like, you know, what's going on with me? Everything, this corona is really kicking my ass. Because it's not just the pandemic, it's the effect of the pandemic, like job-related issues, health-related issues. Like you say, kids, you know, school. It's like, it's not one thing, it's something else. We have friends, family, loved ones in the hospital, you know, who may check in, who may never check out, you know. And while some people are trying to do the right thing, some people are not doing the right thing, or those don't care and just handle their, you know, do what they want. Sean Black, what do you think about the stress of the pandemic fatigue?
I think it's a twofold answer. One, you've got the people that are fatigued from constantly having to be reminded that you have to take steps to make sure that you try and minimize the idea of getting sick or trying to minimize the amount of opportunities you have of being exposed to the virus. Let's really be honest right now. Every day that you leave your house, you're exposed to the virus in some way, whether it's in the air, if it's on a light post or somewhere. It's somewhere. It's a matter of making sure that you're doing whatever you can to minimize it. And I think a lot of people that go outside that have to deal with that, go to work, go to, pick up their kids, go to school or any of those kinds of things, they're constantly bombarded with that. And I think it doesn't help that a lot of the people in leadership don't seem to do what they should do to kind of minimize that by trying to make sure that the people have an idea that we're thinking about that. As far as fatigue, like Lady T said, as far as it's like, getting tired after a workout, or it's, like any of the numerous amount of things that you can be emotionally, physically fatigued about, especially when you don't seem to be getting the answers you need from leadership that will actually assuage some of that. And there's such a huge amount of, I'm going to give you a big word here, insouciance, which is literally a lack of concern for any of the stuff that's going on, whether it's people, whatever they feel about masks, what people feel about, if the virus is a hoax. All of those things lead up to a lot of the fatigue that everybody is feeling right now.
Well, with all the fights and battle going on, we have, and like I sent out a text to Sean yesterday, which my phone was acting up. He received the message like, what, 6-7 times on the same one.
Yes. But I was beginning to wonder.
Okay, tonight in Brooklyn, New York, ladies and gentlemen, there's a, quote, wedding that's happening, or happened already, with an estimate of 10,000 people in the Orthodox Jewish neighborhood. Of course, that raised red flags. The government trying to step in and try to hold back the wedding. I was like, okay, so you have 10,000 people who's attending that wedding. Most likely, most of them are not going to wear masks. It's like a spreader event. And at the same time, a couple of days ago, you have millions of people marching for the Women's March. I believe this is the third year or the fourth year of the Women's March. Ever since Trump,
I believe they did the Women's March the year that Trump won the election.
Yeah. Well, you figure this is the fourth year. So you have that. Isn't that oxymoron that you can have a wedding? You cannot have a wedding of 10,000 people, but you can have protests of Black Lives Matter, women marches, and so on and so on.
Because the rules only apply to some people.
Oh. So some people have privilege compared to others.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say that, they argue about religious rights or freedom of religion rights, all that stuff. Which is just like, no, you're just trying to protect the community and try to, cut back on the spread of the virus. The virus that seems like it's never going away. It is mind-boggling how people just, you try and do the right thing, like Sean said, do the mask, sanitize, all this other stuff, while you have other people out there who just don't care and just trying to put you on the spot and try to get other people sick. And it seems like this virus will never go away. People getting upset with the government when it comes down to lockdowns and everything. But at the same time, people not doing their part to try and try to get this virus under control. And just like earlier, Sean Black's boy, Trump, called...
Why do you keep pinning that one on me?
Well, that's your boy. Because you love him. You wake up talking about him. You text me 6 o'clock in the morning talking about Trump.
We all have something better to do than talk about Trump all day if we could. But he makes it his business that everybody is. So you can continue on with your diatribe right now.
Yeah, but he even called his top doctor, who's in overseeing the pandemic, an idiot. And he's 500 years old. Trump is criticizing his own doctor at a rally. And it's like, wait a minute, how can you criticize your own doctor who's telling you what to do and you're not doing it yourself? Rashawn, I know you have a lot to say about him and Fauci. Take it away.
It's really sad when we've talked before about the administration and what most people that have been polled think of the administration's job about this. We know the majority of this country, outside of Trump's base, the majority of the country think that this president is handling this the wrong way. And the only person that is working within this administration that literally has an overwhelming positive opinion from the American people is Dr. Fauci. Why? Because Dr. Fauci, for the most part, has been transparent. He has been, for the most part, trusted. And he is seemingly a straight shooter as far as what to do, protocols, how long it would take for a virus. The things that you would actually expect to hear from this administration that the people are not getting, Dr. Fauci is the one that's been giving it. And if you've noticed, because Trump is very, very self-conscious about his image and how much credit he gets, as Dr. Fauci's positive response got higher and higher, Trump started to pull back more and more from him to the point where now you have Scott Atlas, who is now part of the task force that is more so the mouthpiece of the coronavirus task force, much more so than Dr. Fauci. And Scott Atlas is pretty much somebody that is a Trump yes man. And he actually went on Twitter just earlier today or yesterday and basically said, masks work? No. Which was then flagged by Twitter and yanked for being inaccurate. And this is the kind of message that this president is trying to show. To actually take out the one person that the country wants to hear from, because you're either jealous of his attention or ratings or whatever the case, because he said as much in the last couple of days, it goes to show you where Trump's mind really is, as opposed to actually helping the people. He's all about getting himself reelected and making sure that he is looked at in a positive light and gets all the credit and none of the blame.
Okay, but Lady T, like I told Sean Black earlier, Trump that claimed he got the virus, quote-unquote, got cured in 4 or 5 days at the hospital. Well, you have 30 people who got the coronavirus from his party. You never hear anything about them, really, except for Chris Christie, who was in the ICU for about 7 days in the hospital. If Trump received this quote-unquote medicine, shouldn't the other Republicans or other parties receive the medicine also to be cured?
Yeah, you would think so. And don't forget everybody's immune system as far as recovery is going to be different. We have to understand this is also intact with immune system, your immune system. So I don't know. I don't want to say it like that, but he says he got it. That's his words. You know what I mean? So I really don't know what this is about.
I can see you really believe the president. Everything he said is 100% believable.
The motorcade, when he did that, I was done with him.
I guess it took, for a lot of people, it took that for them to get off of Trump. When months and months and years ago, he had done, in a lot of instances, a lot of almost worse things. And a lot of people, it takes... You know what it seems to take? It seems to take something that personally affects them for them to finally see the actual damage that this person has done. Between the lack of an actual policy or just a general lack of empathy towards other people that are going through this stuff. Like you said, the president got sick, and all of the, I think it was 23 or 24 people that were in the White House. Literally, the West Wing of the White House is a ghost town with tumbleweed floating through the lawn. And all those people got sick. And Chris Christie seems to really be the only vocal person that got sick that actually has shown a modicum of remorse. Now, mind you, he is...
Has he been speaking lately, though, or did they put the muzzle on him already?
No, he's actually been speaking, and even more so, not only did he
speak, Trump attacked
him for speaking.
That's the whole purpose.
Ago.
Hi, that's my point that I'm making. The minute that they start speaking out about what's really going on with this virus, it's a muzzle put on him. Same thing with Dr. Fauci. When he was explaining it to us in the beginning, letting us know what to do, the muzzle was placed on him. Do we not see the narrative? The only person that's allowed to talk about it, though, is Trump. Let's stop that.
But why is that? Why is that? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lady T.
No, no, I was done.
No, no. I'm just trying to understand that. Here we are talking about it for 8 months now. And Fauci and all of us, God knows how we repeat ourselves over and over again. It's like, why are people acting like this pandemic is new? Like, why people are acting, they don't know what to do? Why
Because people don't think for themselves. They don't think for themselves. They got the information of how to protect yourself from this. Everybody's panicked on a day-to-day. Everybody, I've been stopped listening to, like, you know how they would do Governor Cuomo and then the mayor and then the mayor of New Jersey. I mean, the governor of New Jersey.
Yeah,
I've been stopped watching that, months ago. I can't do that back-to-back because I've seen how exhausted it had me every single day. Every single day, the news changes every single day. Some narratives will stay the same. I said I'll watch it once a month, if even once a month. Now I don't even watch it anymore. I'm sorry. I just don't. It's too much. It makes you anxious.
It was almost like a roll call of the dead.
Hmm?
Yeah. And, yeah, you're right. That does lead to that part of the fatigue that we've all been talking about is you have to keep it in the forefront. You make sure that you're protecting yourself and doing what you can to make sure you don't get it. Or anybody that you love gets it, or make sure that you don't bring it home. And you're cognizant of the things that are being brought to you information-wise. You do your research. You listen to the doctors. You listen to them. But at the same time, we also know that there's a lot of misinformation and fear-mongering that has happened throughout that is being preached. And those are the ones that are reacting the way they are. This is the reason why we have the people that go to the grocery stores and buy up 5,000 rolls of toilet paper. Or those are the ones that start fights because they're being told to wear a mask. And exactly. And what happens today is now 8-9 months in. We're still talking about the same things because, especially in America, we can go to all these other different countries that have been dealing with this in a much different way, that in America, all Americans want to keep their individuality and keep their quote-unquote freedoms and not sacrifice what they have to sacrifice to make sure that this has been mitigated, which is the reason why you've heard me say this before. Everybody wants to die, but they don't want to go to heaven. This is one of those things that happens.
Well, one more thing I want to add on. I hate when I have to say that Sean Beck has been right about this. When people follow leader, I have to give credit.
I just heard Sean Black is right. That's not something you normally say. So that's what
I'm wondering what the backhanded part of it is coming. So I'm waiting for it.
No, you always say that. No, you always say that people listen to Trump. People follow Trump. Trump not much of a leader. There have been people at these rallies. That actually said, if Trump tell me to wear a mask, I wear a mask. If Trump tell me don't wear a mask, I'm not going to wear a mask. And like I told Sean, this is a 70-year-old lady who say this on national television. And I'm like, this woman is probably on Obamacare right now that Trump is trying to take away from. She's probably a pure redneck, you know. It's like she's getting benefits from Obamacare. The reason why Trump survive, quote unquote, from the pandemic, because you have the best doctors in the world right now that take care of it, that we are paying for. And you telling me because one man who's not a doctor, who's not a scientist, who have no knowledge of medical, tell you to wear a mask, you will do it? It takes for him to tell you that? I'm like, are people really that naive? Are people really that much of a sheep?
It's a cult of personality is what I remember telling you, that everybody will listen to – well, let me rephrase it. Everybody that supports the president, I should say, will literally do anything he says. They will chant anything that he brings up. He was just at a rally. Mind you, this is a guy that is just still We don't know how clear he is of COVID. But in any event, this guy was at a rally. And the subject was brought up about the same governor, Governor Whitmer, from Michigan. We all talked about this last time about her kidnapping, attempted kidnapping plot. And while he was talking at the rally, somebody actually at the rally chanted, "Lock her up." And he egged the crowd on to continue this chant. This is what this president is focusing on. Someone who was almost literally kidnapped and could have been killed, murdered, et cetera, to overthrow a Michigan government. He's egging the crowd on of supporters that support this stuff. Why? Because the head person that's there, the one that's egging all of this stuff on, is leading the charge to all of these things. And if you are against the president, you're literally an enemy of his. And it doesn't make a difference how politically correct it would be to even make sense and try to lie or pull back or at least show human decency towards the situation. He's not going to do that. He will not display that. The reason why, he's not capable of doing that. And he'll continue this attack stuff. Matter of fact, he was talking at that same rally. Instead of addressing COVID-19 and all the other stuff outside of attacking people, he went on for 15 minutes about toilets and showers and people flushing the toilets too often.
Because
he has COVID virus fatigue.
Solution.
But I think he has presidential fatigue.
Talk about presidential. Last week on Thursday night is, instead of a debate, we have for the first time a dual town hall meeting at the same time on two different networks, because this country cannot be any more crazier. Lady T, I know I text Lady T and she cursed me out, but still, I've asked you again. Do you watch any of the town hall meeting? Were you channel surfing back and forth between NBC and ABC to see while I was talking? Because I did tell Sean Black that Donald Trump will win in the ratings because he is more entertaining. And Sean was right and I was wrong. Donald Trump did not win in the ratings, but
wow.
Did you
I
watch
got
any
two
of it last week?
That's two for two so far, right?
Yeah.
If I get two in a row, do I win on a crack toe or something?
No, I did not watch it. We already know what this is about. I'm drained with it. This is not a reality show. This is real life. I'm drained with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question overall, Sean Black, is we all know the town halls and the debate coming up is really nonsense. It's for the people who cannot make up their mind yet who to vote for, which to this day is still mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
Why are people to this day don't know who to vote for, despite everything that's happening? For either Sleepy Joe or Loudmouth Trump?
I think what it is that a lot of people, the ones that are undecided, like the independents and those that are on the fence of who to vote for, I think what has happened is that they, to some degree, either they didn't vote in the last election and the wrong person won, but they were kind of ambivalent as to what the situation was. It didn't affect them until recently. And a lot of them are looking at it now like, you know what, maybe Trump is a loudmouth butt. Or, well, Biden, he was in office with Obama for 8 years, but. And they don't know who to really vote for, who to look for policy-wise. And then they have to realize which one of these two, whether it's their policies or what is going to happen now, they're kind of wondering if that's going to be in their lane for who they need to vote for 4 years. Because most people realize if Biden gets in, this is a transitional presidency. He's going to probably be that one-term person and then kind of transition. Because if he wins the election, he'll be 78 years old.
If he makes it that long.
That's where I think a lot of people are ambivalent about. They see Joe Biden and they see Trump. And
I just have a question for both of you guys real quick with that, because I'm just confused.
Ahead.
Why are we having such a hard time of figuring out who you need to vote for? I am not understanding that last minute decision where I think I'm going to vote for Trump, but I like what Biden's doing, which for me, I already know who I'm voting for and the reason why. Why is this such a hard decision? I've never understood that, especially in this situation right here. Do we think for ourselves?
And this is the reason why those town halls really were there just to address the people that the first debate didn't. When you see, I've talked about this before also.
Even after the first debate, why? Didn't you know who you had to deal with?
Yeah, the people have already made up their minds. Yeah.
But Sean, to your point, I understand what you're trying to say, but you have someone like Trump, even if I was ready to call Sean that night, the first 10 minutes, when he was asked a question by a lady, he didn't let her finish the question, as always, interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he said, this is like exact phrase. No, that's a good question. That's a very good question. I like that question. That question is very good coming from you.
Yeah.
He spent 2 minutes saying that the question is good without me answering the question. But keep going around it. It's like, wait a minute. Then you have Joe Biden, who took 10 minutes answering one question. Like, yo, dude, what is going on over here?
He spent the entire time of that town hall. And this is something that I remember bringing this up to you. He spent the entire town hall, speaking of Trump, on defense. The entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Not once did he attack Joe Biden. You know why? Because the moderator, Savannah McGuthrie, I should say, did a tremendous job of actually trying to fact-check him in real time. Because what tends to happen is...
But what did he do? What did he do at that time? The same thing I'm doing to you, distracting you, trying to get you off course.
But what I'm trying to do right now. And as you just said, you already displayed what the clue was, what you were going to do. Everybody knew what he was going to do, including the moderator, and she did not allow it to happen. And he tried to interrupt
what the original question was already, just like I'm sure the viewers did.
Exactly.
Okay, but let me give the K-Dog then to Brother B. K-Dog, you're number one Trump supporter. What was your thought about the town hall meeting?
Well, the town hall meetings, first of all, I just want to say good evening, everybody. The town hall meetings, I watched. I just wanted to see what was being said. First, with Trump, it was all about him. He was just being as loudmouth and obnoxious as he can be. Fed up with that, so I turned over to Biden. Biden, he answered the questions. He answered them way too long, but he did something that was something that I saw. You know, after the debates, he still spoke to, after the town hall meeting, he put on his mask and he went to go talk to the people. And all I could say is this, is that, with both candidates, No Country for Old Men and all, but what would you rather, 4 years of madness or just someone who's trying to make a transition into the office? That's what I'm saying. And the
if you could do the job, Kato, we still don't know yet.
No, but you know what? I already know who I'm voting for. And I say this again, in this election, it's about ABT, anybody but Trump. Because I'm going to tell you why. Look at what's going on with this pandemic. Take a good look at it. We're dealing with a pandemic. Did we ever think that we would deal with this in our lifetime? No. And we have people, mind you, in the Republican Party who are distancing themselves from Trump. That says a lot, doesn't it? Sure does. Yeah. There's a lot
on
that.
And Brother B.
Yeah, greetings and salutations, everyone. How y'all doing? Mm-hmm. And what's up, brother? No, I didn't watch the town hall.
I know you didn't watch the town hall meeting. I know you don't care about those things. So I'm not going to even ask you about that.
I'd rather watch a monkey scratch his ass on live TV while eating a banana.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have.
my brother.
I'm out there on the curiosity, brother.
Lady T, you know, like, I think you asked Lady T a question, and Lady T's whole thing was, you know, like, what's so hard? So, about people making a decision. Like, have you ever went into McDonald's or a fast food joint, and you see those people that stare at the menu? And then they say, you're not going in front of me, I haven't decided. But this is it's the same stuff. It's nothing different.
They made packages. With the menu that comes on Tuesdays at 8:30 on Blog Talk Radio. Just throw a plug in there.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. So my whole thing is like, what you said, what is so hard about it? Is either you want 4 more years of the propaganda, the rhetoric, the hate, the drama, and yada, 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 or you want 4 years of maybe someone trying to get some peace, you know, give us, you know, a peace of mind, you know,
we don't
try to
quell
the violence and stuff like that. And
we
I
don't
think
want
about
that.
Well, that's why I think, you know, people prefer Trump because they want the act. Listen, there's a lot of boring people out there. I'm not afraid to say it. There's a lot of people that are boring, that don't have lives or nothing. This is exciting for me. Trump brings a new level of excitement to the world of planet Earth called the new reality show. And the aliens is watching and like, yo, we need to blow these cats up because it's ridiculous. Like, this dude, it's all the show. It's all the game. And there are people that are riding it out with him. And they love it. This is how they're getting their kicks. And then this is also another way for the people who hate. This is their God and their life.
Oh, yeah.
Lead us to the promised land so we can start proud boying and everything else that comes along with it.
To your point, that this president has literally said over and over again that he himself has saved this country from 2 million deaths. The 2 million deaths that he keeps referring to are the deaths that would happen.
That's what I'm saying.
Had he done nothing. And he's taking that and he's trying to flip that around to make that as if did some sort of policy that makes this different. This is the kind of person that is running this country.
And
that's the
playing,
4 years more that you get if you let this guy win the election.
Your brain doesn't process on its own, you'd really buy that and believe that. I don't understand why you would say something like that.
But you know what, to add to that, Sean Black, you're absolutely right. And that's a slap in the face to all those people that died of COVID and to the families that lost family members of COVID. But you know what's crazy? You know what's more powerful than that? The hate that he supports.
The hate that he
represents is more powerful. So you will have people out there making excuses saying, well, maybe if they wore a turtleneck, they wouldn't have died of COVID, or maybe if they would have stayed, but Trump is the man. That's the type of ignorant people that you have that will make an excuse for him to say something so derogatory and demeaning.
And I'll add something else, too. He shows, and you know what? He doesn't show any type of sympathy, knowing that 200,000-plus people died in this. And he shows absolutely no type of sympathy, no type of like, to the nation, you know, we understand and we're hurting, we're going to get through this. None of that. He ain't shown none of that. And meanwhile, of course, you're telling a certain group to stand by.
Stand back.
Stand back and be ready.
Stand back, stand
by. Come on now. This is some serious stuff. I mean, and you know, the same group that you're telling that to, were the same group who applauded when they heard this. They were actually happy, like, yeah.
And,
you know, look at what
point,
our people are telling us.
And to your point, K-Dog, and Brother B point, and on Lacey, at the town hall meeting to Donald Trump, if the people that asked a question, like, it was a Democrat, he would give the look like, oh, gosh, like, over and bother me, and interrupt you, and don't let you answer a question. But when you're a Republican, oh, my gosh, yes, how can I help
you?
You see the woman that was behind Trump's shoulder that had the red mask on that shook her head every second
she should have said
something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, boy. She got paid for that.
They're kind of put in for extras. They're like extras to this. That's what it's like.
Like.
Yeah, it's an entertainment show.
It's
ridiculous. It's a show. It's a show.
And then we have people
show.
Who think that Trump is so intelligent. I can't understand it. I can't get
oh
that. This is, you'd rather be know what I'm talking about, but yeah.
Yeah, but to Brother B's point, unfortunately, this is where I think Trump may win again. This country loves hate. This country loves pandemonium. This country loves trouble. For people to watch, but I told Sean Black, the reason why watching Trump town hall meeting was entertainment. It was nothing serious, you know. It was nothing but to laugh at it because it was all fun and games. While Biden is trying to address the problem of what's going on, it was definitely apple and oranges between the two town hall meetings. And
it was.
I'm glad that people will be more detaining like Trump and throw his tantrums or whatever. And it's sad. Like, we have a lot of problems going on in this country right now. But we'd like to be entertained by Trump acting like a fool. And when you question that, people think like you're against the God, you know. Even out my old hometown in Canarsie in Brooklyn, I see Trump signs in front of homes, which I was like, wow. And this is a dominant black area. There's not a lot of white homes. You have black people with the Trump sign. And talk about Trump, black people, like I told Sean Black earlier, but to be going to like this one, because due to your show last night, 50 Cent throwing his hat for Trump. After he read his taxes, the tax plan from Biden, now he's supporting Trump. Now, what do you think about a rapper after 50 Cent supporting Trump? For basically the wrong reasons, because of money.
If that's the best thing that we black people have to offer, and someone said it. I mean, I was trying to talk about that yesterday. Listen, celebrities and some of these actors, they kind of need to just stay in their lane. Like, you don't need to, unless you have something real to say, just shut up. Because you're not, I mean,
exactly.
Like I said, there's no offense against Ice Cube, anything like that. But listen, there are people that have been in this for years and still aren't getting any type of recognition. You come along because, all right, you have a platform, fine. I think you said it yesterday. It was said yesterday, Lady T. Your history of who you've been says something different from what you're supporting right now. And I'm not saying that people can't change. I'm not saying people can't change. But you know how critical people are and society is, and they say, well, hey, you talk about this, you know, this contract for black people. Like, first of all, a contract, I don't need no contract. For what we need a contract for? Like, we've been here. We built this shit. So what do you mean we need a contract? Like, listen, don't come up with no contract. Listen, let us just do what we do. Stop redlining. You know what I'm saying? The hate ain't going to stop. And you should already know that. So we just might as well stop asking for things and just do it. And if we can't get it done with them, then do it on our own. Simple and plain.
All I got to say about that.
Hold on, K-Dawg. Yeah. Is it asking for something, like a first step of trying to get something for us?
Why
have we been asking for too damn long?
We've been asking. I was telling Brother B last night, there was an activist on, you know, the Roland Martin show with Ice Cube. And she said she's been doing this for 20 years. She's been asking for those things as well. She goes before whomever to represent us to get that. She gets maybe, what did she say, like a minute or two to say what she needed to say. They haven't heard us yet in the past 20 years that she has been working. Ice Cube brought up that these things have been brought up since the 60s. Why do we think that just because it's him and he's black that they're going to take the time out to listen? Why does 50 Cent think that they will take the time out to listen? Listen, you can be black, you can be white, and vote for a Republican. Who cares? That's your choice to vote. You understand what I'm saying? But don't be mad when certain things don't go your way and the wrong person is in office. And to those people like the 50 Cents and the Ice Cube, their families already set. You guys already came up out of poverty and made that money. So this election doesn't really affect you. That's why you can go before them and say this, this, and that. You have the capital that this money already runs on, so you have the power.
K-Dog?
All I got to say is that when it comes to Ice Cube, I heard what he had to say. But Ice Cube, brother, don't you live in a mansion? I mean, what are you saying, man? I mean, you want to bring this up, but aren't you living in a mansion? This is the same thing. And Brother B and I have spoken about this off the air many times. Like, you want to talk about what's in it for us, but what are we as a people doing for ourselves that we're asking people to do things for us? And of course, I wanted to bring something else, too, about what's been going on with us as black people. You have people out there telling black people don't vote in these elections. I'm like, question mark, like, what the hell are you doing? What do you mean don't vote in these elections? When the wrong person gets into office, when you don't vote, first up, it's an insult not to vote because it's an insult to those who gave their lives and paid heavily for the right to vote. And you're telling people not to vote, or you're being mad at this person, you're being mad at that person. What are we doing? And like I said, what are you, you know, you live in a mansion. You know, you want to be angry, do something behind your anger. Go
but
to your neighborhood and talk to them.
Well, like I said, 50 Cent is promoting, sponsoring Trump. While Ice Cube, he tried to talk to both parties, the Democratic and Republican. And as you know, the Democrats said we talk at the election, and Republicans are like, oh, yeah, sure. But nothing's happening. At least Ice Cube is doing something, right? Is there,
yeah,
did
but,
he get
but,
credit
but
for 50, trying at least?
But 50, I'm not criticizing, but I'm saying he's living in the mansion. And 50, you're making money. 50, you got your money. So, of course, he's going to
they're
that
all
here,
making
man.
Money. They don't represent. They don't
exactly.
represent the minorities of black people.
That's what
they
I'm
not
saying.
Represent those communities anymore, so. For them to go before that, like I said, they can. They have capital. When you have capital in America, you have power. Do we not see
mm-hmm.
that with our president?
Okay, Sean Black.
Yeah, well, also remember, we've seen other African-American celebrities try to do the same similar thing. You remember the year that Trump was elected, Steve Harvey tried to do the same thing, and he was literally castigated and burned at the stake by almost all of black folks. So
mm-hmm.
I believe there
mm-hmm.
is a way to do it, and there's also has to be authentic and not look like there's some kind of an agenda behind it. 50 Cent, he's made millions and millions of dollars. He's an astute businessman, as evidenced
mm-hmm.
by the fact that he could take vitamin water, buy that company, then flip it for $400 million in less than, what, 3 years, 4 years that he owned the company? They sell it to Coca-Cola. So he knows what he's doing business-wise. The people that are looking for the leadership coming out of this administration and looking for the aid and the help that is needed in other communities, they don't seem to necessarily have those people's interest in mind. Or if
mm-hmm.
they do, they are walking into a lot of force fields that keep them from moving forward. So they have to be able to get through those. And those force fields get unlocked at the local level. When you talk about your congressman or an alderman or somebody that is a local representative, that's when you start to get that grassroots movement going. And then the people start to get in there. And that's when you start to see something happen on a local level. And then that starts to get a groundswell and move further up. We're not going to necessarily see that straight from up top and then let it filter down because it just doesn't work that way. So then you have to mm-hmm. now look at when I see a particular congressman or somebody say that we're going to help fix the things that have happened in the African-American community. Well, they are in the process of trying to negotiate that in an area that's literally a den of thieves. How are you going to actually argue that point when everybody else seemingly has their own agenda? Are they looking
mm-hmm.
for re-election? Are they looking to actually work and help their constituents out? Or are they trying to keep their jobs? Where on the local level, you're going
to
have, you're going to have much more of an opportunity at the local level, especially if it's like a younger person. Like you see the AOCs of the world that come out and they do certain things locally, and then they move up, but they've actually tried to do something locally to get something happening in the community. and then get that taken care of. That's how it's going to work.
Exactly.
But real quick, Deshaun Black. So,
yeah.
Off of what you said in the beginning, what about if they put their money where their mouth is? You see what I'm saying?
Well,
like you can talk all the money.
Yes. You gotta get some return
thing.
For that.
Sometimes when you gamble, there is no return. So the whole thing is, you can talk that talk, but will you make the investment?
If somebody, let's say, I'll give you an example. When Magic Johnson wanted to open up all of those drive-in theaters throughout certain parts of California, and then especially in a lot of the lower income areas that didn't necessarily have entrepreneurship, where they had black bankers or people that had means and had money and connections, were going to try to bring those businesses in to those neighborhoods. He got a lot of opposition, but he used a lot of his own money and the investment group that he owns to try to get those businesses in particular neighborhoods so that, one, jobs would start, because you got to build the theaters. You got to actually get the money involved. You got to work with companies to get the concessions and then get the soft drinks, get everything built, and kept it local as much as he could while at the same time filtering money into that neighborhood. Those are the kinds of things that you have to get. And if somebody that's a celebrity or a banker, someone that is affluent, that actually has the money, that wants to put something into that neighborhood and it doesn't work, at least the word of mouth and it's showing that, well, I am willing, somebody was willing to put the effort in. Now maybe somebody else could piggyback off of that, and maybe the drive-in movie theater thing didn't work. Maybe a pharmacy would work. Maybe a supermarket would work. Because we know, Lord knows, and especially in low and impoverished areas that don't get the access to getting to supermarkets, they need them in the neighborhoods. Those kinds of businesses will always work if you get the right people involved, and you have to give them the
right people
to want to put into that.
You talk about from a positive note, because you're always trying to be Mr. Positive, but those things doesn't always work all the time. I'm like, will you take a huge chance in that? Or will you, like, you know what? Are you going to open a Starbucks in a gallon, I'm just going, in a low class area like East New York? Or you go open a Starbucks in a dominant white area or hippies area where you know
and
most likely going to gain money that way?
I'm going to give you the danger in that thinking. The danger in that thinking is once one of those established businesses come in there, they're like weeds. They get planted right in that neighborhood and they stay there. And what ends up happening is the more nurturing that particular business gets, the more people are going to filter out, and it's going to choke out the life bread of a lot of the people in the neighborhoods that they are there in. So you used to put a Starbucks in the middle of a predominant African-American neighborhood that can't afford to go to Starbucks. What do? The business may thrive because it's bringing in other people that have the money. To put that money into that money won't go into the neighborhood.
But is it bad? Come on. We got to call the spade a spade sometimes. Is it really bad?
I agree.
Is it bad?
No, it's not bad.
Because it's a come up for the community. I mean, people want to talk about gentrification.
I'm not besmirching the business making money. But what I'm saying is certain businesses that go into certain neighborhoods, they actually change the neighborhood, whether it's good or bad, depending on what side you're on. And
how many times we've been arguing about this topic, about gentrification? We cannot afford a Starbucks in the neighborhood. Why bother? Like, they could be happy. They'd be happy to open three bodegas on the same block. You know, people could afford that. Like, they might have three bodegas on the same block or liquor stores or play the lottery machine. They have a Starbucks. That's probably
instead of the
what,
Starbucks.
Shape up the
and
brand.
Then people also Maybe. Worry about the Starbucks being robbed because of the scarcity of what people have and can't afford it. And then people are going to come in there and rob it. That's always an issue with certain things when it's placed in certain areas.
Well, maybe
and even if it wasn't a
step up their game.
Why couldn't it have been a black-owned barista that came in and said, well, we're going to make something. Yeah, and that's my point.
You can put
some of those
into
the neighborhoods. What was that?
Yeah, and Hot Rod is right. They don't last long. And then another thing with it, don't forget you go in, I don't have it today for the cup of coffee. The owners will say, just take the coffee. That's another thing. Black people, not black people in general, but in those areas, want to pass with certain things because they know the store owners, and the store owners know them, and they may know their situation, that they can't afford it, and they'll pass.
In the long term, it affects the business. It won't last long, unfortunately. I have one more question to ask. Brother B, with the Democrats and the Republican Party going crazy, do you think it's true? With everything that's happened about Donald Trump and black people, and, you know, Democrats are mostly, well, most black people are for the Democrats. If Donald Trump was running on the Democratic Party, despite, like, right now, do you think black people will still vote for Donald Trump because he's a Democrat?
Well, I mean, just to be clear, I don't believe in neither one of them, but I just want to vote to vote. But I will say this. His tune would be different if he was a Democrat. His tune would be way different. And I don't think he would have gotten elected if he did run on a Democratic, you know, base. He wouldn't have got elected.
Mm-hmm. Lady T?
I don't know how to even answer that. Sorry. Just pass it to someone else because it's not even a realistic question. It's like a fantasy. So I'll pass.
Fantasy? No, because I'm asking that because we always say that the Democrats is dominating black. Black people always love the Democrats, but the Democrat Party never do anything for the black people, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's been going on for years.
He was a Democrat before. That's why I'm just cracking up and I'm just looking at his character when he was a Democrat. Loved by everybody, whatever the case may be. Everybody was on his bandwagon. I don't know if it was because he was one of, like, the richest men at that time, but it's about wealth. I don't think it's about a party anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, we already know that Trump, you just got to think about the – well, both parties are going insanely crazy. I mean, is there a psychiatrist in the house? Because, listen, you got to put the people first. Party second, people first, because that's the problem, right? No one's even caring about what's going on. You have a divided country, which the country was always divided, and you have a pandemic in which people are dying from it. People don't know when this thing is going to pass. I mean, why not focus on the people first instead of party? Put the people first.
And of course, Sean.
Well, there's no money to be made when you think that way, and that's what the whole issue is. The Trump and the people that are within his party are thinking in lockstep in a certain way. There is a schism between the Republican Party and the party of Trump. They're two separate parties as far as I'm concerned. The old school conservative Republican Party that were the quote-unquote the good old boys, the good old days, that the ones that keep harping on that, those are the ones that are actually afraid of Trump. At least afraid of saying something against what Trump represents, because his base will come for them. The party of Trump, they literally don't care. They will say what they feel, say what they think, because they feel that what they're saying and what they believe in, everyone should believe in. And they feel that they are being pushed aside, castigated, moved to the, you're unimportant. Jobs moving elsewhere, all of these other these excuses that are being made. And I think Trump he's touched on a nerve with a lot of these people that now feel emboldened to open their mouths and say everything that Trump says and repeats, almost like Pavlov's dog. You ring the bell, they'll say something or do an action that they will say. Ring the bell or the dog whistle. Okay, screw masks. Ring the bell, I don't want to wear a mask. Oh, black people are stupid. Ring the bell. Oh, you're an ignorant black person. Ring the bell, and that's exactly what's been going on literally every day for this entire presidency. But it has been in some ways subtle, and in other ways it's been overly blatant. Look at how he's handled Puerto Rico. Look at how he's handled, quote-unquote, kids in cages.
Well, Sean Black, you see, he doesn't mention Puerto Rico, but still, he will win Florida most likely, and there's a lot of Latin voters down there that will vote for
that
Trump.
I will never.
Despite what happened to Puerto Rico,
I will never understand. I know the Hispanic community has always been strongly for Republicans, But the one person that they're backing is the one person that could really give a damn about them. Just as evidenced by his actions.
And he showed it.
And to Cato, Cato was like this. One thing I have to give Trump credit for, which I, yes, I'm giving Trump credit for something. Cato, this, he making people vote. Whether you vote for him or vote against him, so far there's been 30 million people who have voted already in this election. That's more than 2016.
And we're adding more, a record amount of ballots. I think they said like 120 million ballots could potentially be tallied by the end of the election. That's a record.
And like I said earlier before, there are a couple of people who did vote for him in 2016. Some of them are changing their tune. Like, I can't support this because many of them have seen a lot of the madness. And, of course, with the COVID and the economy, they're like, what the hell is this madman doing? He's speaking like a madman, like, oh, you guys, oh, this isn't happening. This isn't happening. I mean, you're calling out scientists. You're calling out people and calling people liars and stuff. I mean, and plus, you know what? As I look at this guy, Crean, to have COVID-19, I'm like, really? Are you serious? Because people who have caught the disease are recuperating. They said like that they still feel kind of weak. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
I just want to say something. What bothers me with that is that we really believe that there's people who are going to change their mind about Trump. It really bothers me. It's like you can say that all day, but when you go to punch your ticket in, your heart's going to do what your heart's going to do. So we can say that all we want. I don't believe they're going to change their mind. They're just talking that.
And that's why I think it's a tribal election. All of those people that have already made up their minds, you've made up your mind who you're going to vote for probably. Hot Rod has probably made up his mind. It's the people in the middle that are like those, the independents and those that are kind of like, well, I'm not sure. Those are the only people. You're not going to change the mind of a Republican or a Democrat. It's those that are right there that kind of don't know.
Like she said, why are you undecided? With everything that's going on, this is not the Hillary Trump era. This is Trump Biden. We know what we get from Trump, compared to the last election.
Why, and then remember the October surprise that everybody always waits for.
I think people are just scared. I think people are scared because if, God forbid, like you said earlier, something happens to Biden, it'll be a black woman running the show, and people They will have a fit.
They don't want that. But you tell me you have a black woman president before a white woman president?
Things will burn.
And the same thing can happen on the other end. We can have the vice president with the fly on his head turn into the president.
But they'd rather have him.
Come on.
True.
They'd rather have him than a black woman.
Does not compute.
Brother B, do you have a show tomorrow night?
Yeah, and I don't know what it is. It might be about massage oil because I'm not talking about no politics at all.
You said
it might
massage oil.
What
do you
that's
know
what
about
be
that?
About. That sounds kind of sexy.
I can't do no more politics. But tomorrow, no. No, I got to have some fun.
Oh, my gosh, I can't.
Got to have some fun tomorrow.
Okay, so you tell me you going to trust your show on the hands of Big Red and Lady T to talk about massage oil.
Yeah,
I'd rather listen to that.
You are the same guy who did not know anything about the pumper. You want to talk about massage oil?
I'm listening. We might have to talk about that too. We might have to talk about that. Forget it.
Because
I just might want to know about it. We might just have to. Because I
it
can't
goes
do
hand in hand
tomorrow.
With the pump. You'll be okay, brother. You're good.
Yeah, I don't care.
And all of that ain't yours if the price is right, I guess.
Listen, I just to say hey.
after tomorrow night's show, if one of us get pregnant or have a child, it's on you, okay? That's all I need to say right now, all right?
Ron, you said
there
one
will
of
be
us.
A disclaimer.
You're expecting to be pregnant? You want to tell us something?
Well, you know how Hot Rod get down. So it ain't nothing.
I have to give him an uh-oh. Hot Rod,
guys, thank you so much for
a
great show tonight.
My goodness.
Lord. Good night.
Yeah, that was nice.
Oh, man. We end on a laugh and not killing each other. How about that?
Oh, right. That's
a beautiful thing.
The world. Pleasure with
good night, guys.
Yours.
Take care.
Good night,
take
y'all.
Care. Good night.
Peace out.